Let us pray. God, our goal and our guide, you go before us and await our coming. Only our thirst compels us beyond complaint to conversation, beyond rejection to relationship. Pour your love into our hearts, that refreshed and renewed, we may invite others to the living water given to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Many offices and workplaces and indeed public spaces today have installed what are called water coolers, a large circular plastic container of water with cups below for staff and visitors to refresh themselves. Or perhaps in a moment of a coffee break or a lunch break, for staff to gather around and share news and conversation and deepen their friendships. And we call these opportunities a water cooler moment. Well, our gospel presents us today with a first century water cooler moment. In this unlikely encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well, we see how news is shared, refreshment is offered, and friendship is deepened. And in my sermon this evening, I want us to explore those three themes, to join in the conversation. Firstly, news is shared. An intriguing dialogue plays out at the well. We quickly find out more about this nameless woman than perhaps she would want disclosed. In the previous chapter, Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. But here, Jesus encounters this Samaritan woman in the burning heat of the midday sun. There was probably no one else around. Women would normally draw water in the cool of the evening, or perhaps very early in the day. But she is here at noon, perhaps alone. Perhaps she has been ostracized by the other women in the town. Perhaps they kept their distance. She has an interesting past. It reads a bit like the script of EastEnders. Did she have herself to blame for her troubled past? Or were the men in her life at fault? It's been said that while creating husbands, God promised women good and ideal husbands would be found in all four corners of the earth. And then he made the earth round. And she was still looking for the ideal husband. Yes, we could dismiss her as a loose woman of no morals. But what courage she had in that quest for a deep and lasting love. And here, in the heat of the midday sun, Jesus looks straight into her heart, and soon it all comes flowing out, brought out into the light of day. Her hard life, and perhaps wrong choices, had drained her of love, self-esteem, friendship, and hope. Her life was like that wilderness that we heard in our Old Testament reading, full of rocks upon which she had stumbled, a desert place of disappointment and complaint. Her life was on the rocks, and all her hard knocks yielded nothing. Her heart was as empty as her water jug. What about us this evening? What is our news that we are living with at the moment? What do we bring us this evening? Are we carrying a burden? Do we feel that we're in the heat of things, under pressure? Maybe it is an unnamed burden, unspoken, something that you carry alone. Some need, some thirst that we have. Perhaps some guilty shame, a broken relationship, something that has drained us. And we come, and we come. And here, ready and willing to meet us, is Jesus. Jesus sees all that we are, all that we have this evening. We cannot hide, and we do not need to. Like water from the well, Jesus draws it all out from within us, out from those dark depths, up to the surface, out into the open, as he listens to us. What a joy to be able to share our news with him today and every day. He truly is a friend in need. He understands. How do we know? Well, in verse 6, John tells us that Jesus was tired from the journey. Here we see the humanity of Jesus. Here is no superhero with unlimited reserves of power and energy. Here is a man who is tired and spent from all the demands made upon him. He is thirsty, and he has the grace and the humility to put himself in a dependent position. He has the grace to ask. He has the grace to receive. May it be so with us. May we never be so fiercely independent and self-reliant that we do not have the grace to ask for help. So, crossing religious and cultural boundaries, Jesus asks her for a drink. In all that follows, it's interesting that we're not told if she did give him that drink. It's not there in the text. We remember, even later in his life and ministry, he would thirst, even crying it out from the cross, "I thirst." So Jesus understands what it is to be drained, to carry a burden. Jesus is tired. here, but not too tired to give. We move on to the next stage of this water cooler moment. News has been shared, and now refreshment is offered. Jesus is able to offer this lady something that she cannot find in any other person or place. It is the gift of living water. But as they each talk about water, it is clear that they're not talking about the same thing. Jesus is speaking a language she doesn't understand. Jesus speaks about things above, but she is thinking about the things of earth. When Jesus speaks of living water, to her thinking, he is talking about flowing water, a stream, a river, a spring. To her, flowing water was more precious than this well water. Flowing water was superior. It was the only water to be used in the religious ceremonial cleansing. If Jesus knew of such flowing water, then she wanted to know. The truth was that her town of Shechem had no such flowing water. She had to settle for well water from Jacob's well. And so she tries to divert the conversation to a debate about the significance of religious sites for Jews and Gentiles. Perhaps trying to deflect attention away from the things of her heart that Jesus knows about. But Jesus is offering her something even greater than flowing water. Something even greater. This outsider is given insider information. As Jesus tells her, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I will give them will become a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. Friends, what a wonderful promise. What a wonderful gift. And this woman is overwhelmed by such a possibility. Something happens for her to be able to receive Jesus, to drink deep of his life. For John tells us that she left behind her water jar, a symbol perhaps of her leaving behind her past, her old life. She ran to tell the good news to others, saying, come and see. And we are included. Come and taste this living water. True satisfaction. Jesus is that living water who breaks upon our lives, who bubbles up like a living spring and fountain, sometimes crashing in on our lives like a mighty wave, flushing away our stagnant sin and our shame, washing away our guilt, cleansing us, making us overflow with his love and his life, his joy and his peace. This is his gift to us, today and every day. If we thirst, it's not because there is nothing to drink and no living water. It's because we have not knelt, humbled ourselves stooped low, and drunk deep. Jesus is all sufficient. We need not look to any other waters. No other wells will satisfy. No other place or person. Only Jesus has living water to give. How will we respond this evening? We move on to the final stage of this water cooler moment. News has been shared. Refreshment is offered in order that friendship is deepened. We don't know if this woman made any drastic changes in her life, but she left with a deeper understanding of God and with reconciliation and a deeper understanding and communication with her neighbours. She brought others to Jesus. So she leaves us this evening as a would-be disciple and follower. In meeting Jesus, we meet someone who calls us by name to a deeper friendship. We are called to drink deep. When we encounter Jesus, is our thirst quenched? Satisfied? Or is our thirst increased? It's a good question. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul desires you. In the Gospels, Jesus tells his disciples, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And in the book of Revelation, this same author, John, tells us that Jesus will lead his people to springs of living water. Revelation 7, verse 17. Even in the life of heavenly perfection, there will be thirst to be quenched. So in answer to this question, is our thirst for God satisfied or is our thirst for God increased? I suspect it is both. Yes, we are satisfied, and yet we are left wanting more. Wanting more. Knowing that our vessel is deep, our longings are great. Yes, we can know him, but we can know him more. May God save us from feeling that we have received all that he has to give. Any lack of desire or longing for God is restrictive, and a cold heart freezes living water. Living water is never a one-off gift and for all time. It is flowing. So don't block the flow of his life into yours. So we've spent a time with Jesus and the woman at the well, this water cooler moment. As we return to life and work tomorrow, before you leave, in bread and in wine, tell Jesus your news. Give him your burden. Drink deep of his living water. Accept the refreshment he offers and deepen your friendship with him, your Saviour and your Lord. Amen.